just a natural, mundane life, but a supernatural life. Now, God knows we're supposed to go to work. Everybody's supposed to have work. Whether you're kids taking out the garbage or mowing the grass, everybody's supposed to have some kind of work that they do. Why? Because God is into productivity. He's not into laziness, right? What does that say in the idle mind's the devil's workshop? You better believe it. One that's just stayed on carnal things also is. Thank you, Sandy, for that one of that right. See, it got real quiet when I said that. We're supposed to be spiritually minded, right? What is it says over there in Romans 8? Carnally minded, what brings what? Death. Spiritually minded brings what? Life and peace. I don't know about y'all, but I like life and I like peace. And God knows we have to work, you know, public jobs or for ourselves or whatever it is. We have to cook and clean, take care of kids and do banking and everything that we have to do, he knows it. But how many knows we are supposed to have our mind stayed on him? He said, whoever keeps our mind stayed on him, he'll keep that person in perfect what? Not turmoil, not distress, not discomfort, right? But in peace. But our part is keeping our mind. He won't do that. Why? Because he gave it to belong to you. He gave me mine to belong to me. But how many knows that if you don't keep your mind, the devil will? On something Danny was telling me when he came in the door this morning, he quit listening to the radio, and instead of listening to the radio, he prays in tongues. You know, how many knows you could, just from here to Cleveland, you could do a lot of praying in tongues, you know, or from here to home or whatever, you could do a lot of praying in tongues. He said, I started having all these weird thoughts of banana pudding and everything else. He said, I don't even like banana pudding. Well, the devil doesn't discriminate, and he don't care if you don't like it. Just keep your mind on something else. Doesn't have to be something bad, just something else other than God and his word. So, that's our part. And in order to, you know, I told y'all before, Smith Wigglesworth, somebody asked him, you know, because they thought that he was going to say a long time or something. Said, how long do you pray? He said, about 15 minutes. He said, but rarely do I go 15 minutes without praying. You know what that tells me? That is a man that over a period of time has developed great powers of concentrated thoughts. I don't think about God every 15 minutes. I don't even think about praying every 15 minutes. You know why? I've not done like him and developed powers of concentrating to pray. How many knows you have to set your mind on things, or your mind will set your life, and the devil will be the driver of it. But that's our part. So I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 16, Zach, and then we'll go into 3 verses 1 through 4. First Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. So if you don't get nothing else out of this message this morning, which I'm sure you will, but start working on developing powers of concentration in your mind. And I'm telling you, if you ain't never done it, or if it's been a long time, and listen, even if you do, I mean, as you can develop even more powers of concentration to where somebody could ask you something, you answer them, and automatically your mind just go right back to thinking about the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save, which means we would say except, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. How many knows we have a lot of smooth-talking people that can con a lot of people? I'm talking about even in church. They can con a lot of people. But how many knows a smooth talker can't con a spiritual person? Why? They spiritually discern that spirit. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, which means full age or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by how? His Spirit. Now, every one of these gifts that we've been talking about for 4 or 5 weeks now, who gives the gifts? The Spirit, right? The Spirit gives the word of wisdom to this one, the word of knowledge to that one. Well, he's saying here that God reveals these things by his Spirit. It says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except or save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I'll stop here for just a second. That word natural, you could also say a carnal man. I didn't say he's not a Christian. See, you can be a Christian, but be all carnal, and you're locked out of the things of God. You're born again, yeah, heaven may be your home and all that, but you don't understand very little about the Spirit. And a lot of times these people, because that's the way they are, they're very carnal, they reject the gifts of the Spirit. Teach whole doctrines, churches, teach whole doctrines against all the gifts of the Spirit. Remember we went over that? They died out with the apostles. And why? Because they don't carnally understand them. But we're not supposed to carnally understand them. We're supposed to spiritually discern them, right? And if we're spiritual, we will. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 3 verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now he's speaking to Christian people, right? He says, but I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual. He says, but as unto carnal. Carnal just means fleshly. Your mind, your emotions is what leads you, how you feel about something, what somebody did to you, what you think about your job all the time. You can tell what people's mind is stayed on. Why? Because it comes out of their mouth. The Bible speaks whatever is in the heart in abundance, it's going to come back out of the mouth. How do you know when your car is full if you don't look at the gauge? Just keep pumping. Why? It'll be all over you in a minute. Right? He says, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. Listen, the more spiritual we become, and I'm not talking about weirdos. I don't like weirdos. God's not interested in making weirdos. A spiritual person, the more spiritual a person is, the more they seem like everybody else. They're not drawing attention to themselves. You know, they may talk to you and spiritually discern that you are about this deep in the things of God, but never let on to you. And you tell them some little nitpicking experience that you seem to have with God, I mean, and they've got mountains of things, and they'll be like, that's just awesome. You see what I'm saying? He goes on and he says, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? Well, of course, the Spirit of God doesn't do that. And walk as men. The Amplified Bible says, walk as mere unchanged men. How many knows you can be a Christian and think and act just like you did before you got saved? And even get some conviction going on about the way you think and you act, but then keep on doing it. And before long, then it don't even bother you anymore after a while. And notice what he says here. He says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? What they're arguing about is who baptized who. Who cares? We're all baptized. What's it matter? How many of those babies like to argue over the smallest little thing? Carnal people like to argue over the smallest little thing. But spiritual people, the closer you get to the Lord and the more spiritually mature that you are, I wrote this down, nothing is worth losing or not deepening or increasing in the anointing. Nothing. And I'm going to have to try to remember that every time I get upset at Scotty. He ain't worth it. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. Because he's saying right here, we just got through reading. I mean, when I do Sunday school or I pray for someone, I don't want just y'all to hear good words. I don't want y'all just to hear eloquent words. I want y'all to see some power and demonstration of the Spirit coming out of me, entering into y'all. God using me to minister to y'all. I want the same thing for y'all. I prayed this morning, God used the gifts of the Spirit that the body would minister to the body, God. You working through each one of us. But fussing and fighting with Scotty, I'm not going to keep it if I have it. And if I don't have it, I can't obtain it. Why? Because it's kind of like this. You don't give a shotgun to a five-year-old. Why? A five-year-old can't handle that kind of power. If they can pull the trigger, they're going to blow something up. The side off the house, somebody. You know, it's kind of like this. What if God turned the power up on every one of our words? Y'all would not like me on the highway. That is one thing that I'm telling you, if the devil tries to get me with, it is people's driving. Tries to drive me nuts. And I have to tell myself, Tracy, you are not the Holy Ghost police. Leave people alone. So what if they didn't use their blinker? That's them. It's not you. Yeah, but it would have helped me. I would have known they was turning. You're supposed to use your blinker. People not obeying the rules really tries to get on my nerves. Why? I like to try to obey the rules. According to Travis and Scotty, rules don't even exist. They was made to be broken. Seems like, to me, you know. You know, when we're going down the road, and I say, he's about to turn, I say, you didn't turn your blinker on. Yeah, well. I can't stand that stuff, seems like. Well, that's a weakness in me. That's just my thing or whatever, that I'm going to have to work on to not lose it. Why? If I want to carry and increase the anointing. Because I can't be behind somebody on the road or meeting somebody or whatever driving and God turn up the power to like 90% in my life to where it's like what I say is God saying it and something they don't use their blinker or whatever or pull out in front of me, you know, and I'll be like, I wish you'd just drop dead. Boom, they're dead. See, I'm not talking about funny now. Why? Every word that comes out of God's mouth happens. He tells me there's life and death in my words. But the power can be turned up and the power can be turned down. I want the power turned up when my baby is sick and I rebuke a fever and I want it to go, right? And I have authority. But see, I can't be over the devil if I'm yielding to him all the time. So I can't be cussing people out on the highway and Scotty every time he makes me upset and then get up here in the pulpit and sha-la-la-la-la, be healed. And y'all just all out in the wave of the Spirit. It's just not going to happen. Does God want it to? Absolutely. Do you know that's why the devil wants you carnal all the time? It's why he wants you in sin. It's not about going to hell anymore, right? You're born again. He says heaven is your home. Now we have a life to live and him to obey whatever he tells us to do. But that's one of the reasons why he'll entice you to sin, and then the dog that he is will condemn you for doing so. Yeah. Why? Because he doesn't want the power turned up in our lives. Why? Because it is a detriment to his kingdom. We have authority over the devil. But the Bible says, resist the devil, submit yourselves therefore to God, right? Resist the devil, and he's to do what? Flee. If he ain't fleeing, it's because you ain't been resisting him, you've been yielding to him. Or me, I'll just say y'all, is every one of us. So nothing is worth losing the anointing or not deepening or increasing in the anointing. Nothing. So what that means is, well, that takes me all the way over to the next page, and we just skipped all of that. Oh, my goodness. Let's see which way we want to go. Now, let me pull glasses on. Let's see which way we want to go here. Now, remember, the title is Full in Gifts. I'm going to read you something Smith Wigglesworth said. Somebody asked him, which is the best gift? He said, I don't know that one is greater than the other. He said, but I want to stay full of the Spirit of God, he said, so that he can use me at any time and any way that he wants to. To me, that was the best answer he could give. Because to me, if I'm in need of gifts of healing, it's not going to help me if you've got word of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm full of the Spirit of God, then how many knows God can lead me? He can speak. I can hear him. I don't got to go home and do 3 days of fasting and praying. Now, y'all know what I'm saying? See, in this too, we have authority over the devil, but I can't just go around casting the devil out of everything and everybody. I don't have that kind of authority. If you want a demon, you can have him. You understand? God don't want you to. I wouldn't want you to. But if you want you one, you can have it and you can keep it. That is the very reason why the Apostle Paul, y'all remember the story of that little fortune-telling girl that followed him around for 3 days? Why do you think she followed him around for 3 days? Now that was going to be under, and we didn't get to that one, under the gift of faith. He got a word, I guarantee you, and when he did, because nobody wants a demon testifying for them. And what was she saying? These men are of the Most High God, you know, come here and all this other stuff. For 3 days she does this stuff. That would be so annoying. I'd want to slap it out of her the minute she started doing it. But he let it go on for 3 days. What do you think? He just got tired of it? No, he got a word. And when he turned around and he told the devil to get, he went. Immediately. That's how come they got in so much trouble in that town, because he got them people out of all that fortune-telling and making money that they was doing off of that little girl. Now, how we got into that, I don't know. Oh, yeah, I do, too. I remember now. That I can't just go around casting devils out, even though do I have authority over the devil? Yes, the Bible says that I do. The Bible says that Jesus stripped him of all glory. The Bible says he's under my feet, right? He's under my feet. I have authority over my stuff, my house. But if you want him at your house, you can keep him there. I've had people call me and Scotty before, and that's fine. To come over to their house, they got some stuff, demonic stuff going on. Want us to come over there and cleanse their house and pray and all that, and we have went and we've done some of that. But the last thing that we told them is, now you keep the devil out. You asked us to come, so we're here on your authority. He's gone, and you're the one going to have to keep him gone. If he tries to come back, you're going to have to keep him out. So, to get over to this, I can't feed on junk all the time and be strong spiritually. What do I mean by that? Wrong kinds of thoughts. I can't think wrong kinds of thoughts and right words come out of my mouth and right attitudes and right actions all the time. It's just not going to happen. The Bible talks about in Mark chapter 4, the sower and the word. Well, the word is seed, but my heart is the garden. And it's not just this word that is seed. Thoughts are seeds. Pictures are seeds. Words are seeds. Not just God's word, all words. Our seeds, just like I think it was last Sunday whenever I was talking about, you have to pay attention just as much as what the Bible does say and what it don't say and how it says it and all that, you know. Meet somebody on the street, say hello, keep on going, and then meet somebody again, hello. There's something in that second one that wasn't in the first one, right? Say, you're going down the street or whatever, and you're a guy and you meet a woman, and she says that, hello. Y'all just saw everyone except Scotty's got blank faces. Scotty's smiling. He has them sit down at the breakfast table with him when he goes in to eat somewhere. What can that do to somebody? When you hear that, hello. Yeah, a seed of what? Adultery, fornication, whatever. If you're married or not married, it's planting a wrong seed of something. Well, guess what? And especially if she's a coworker, he's a coworker, you better get it out of there. You better get that seed out of there right quick. Why? Because your heart is a garden. It's going to make whatever seed you put in it grow, good or bad. And when you get you a harvest, it ain't going to be, what am I doing in this bed? Why is my clothes off? You're going to know. It ain't like just bam, you know. You can trace it all the way back to a thought that you had or an image that you had that you didn't get rid of. But the thing about it, it works just as good on the good side, the good stuff. You can plant the word of God in there, it'll bring you a harvest. On healing, finances, you need money, put the seed in. Put the word in on money. This is a whole bag of 66 bags of seed. Right? There's 66 chapters, right? Well, every chapter is seed. Whatever your problem is, find the seed, put it in there. Now, but I can't be eating, and listen, it's not just I can't be eating junk or bad stuff all the time. I can't keep my mind on carnal stuff all the time and be a spiritual Christian. But one thing that a lot of people like to do is be carnal all week long, 6 days a week, 24 hours a day, and get to church and flip a switch, and now we're all spiritual. I want to cast out devils. I want to heal the sick, right? I want to preach with an anointing that everybody just goes, "Woo! Did you feel God?" And it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I am whoever I am 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Am I perfect? No. But there's a difference in carnality and trying to keep your mind stayed on the Lord and trying to increase your mind stayed on the Lord, trying your best to obey Him, and if you mess up, be quick to repent. There's a difference in that. Instead of just, I don't know what you would call it, of some people, like I said, 6 days a week, they're all carnal. They're fleshly, they're carnal. And then the seventh day when we go to church, now we want to be real spiritual. And they can't figure out why they can't do that. Can't nobody do that. We need to be hungry for God. And I'm speaking to myself. Hungry for God and the things of God. I would like to say when I'm hungry, I don't eat, but I do. Natural. Y'all can tell by looking at me. I said most of the time I eat just because I'm bored, you know. And I got work today, but I don't want to go do it. I'd rather watch TV and eat something, you know. I'm just being honest. Just tell y'all the facts like it is, you know. There's one thing about it. I know exactly how not to be as big as I am. I'm not fooled at all, so y'all don't think I'm deceived. I know what to do, but how many knows knowing what to do and doing it is two totally separate things. That's what James says. Don't be a hearer only, but you hear and you do get you the results. You know what to do to not be as big as I am, but then you do the opposite and you get as big as I am. Oh, my goodness. Why am I saying that? Because every one of us should be hungry for God and the things of God. Some people was not even hungry enough to get, and I'm not talking about just here, to get up and go to services this morning. Some people are not hungry enough to pray, except when they have a need. And guess what will happen sometimes? When that's going on, if you got a lot of stuff going on in your life, God knows what will motivate you. And if you don't think He'll let things come after you, you got another thing coming. What does a mama eagle do when it gets time for them little baby eagles to fly? Come on, you little sweet little thing. Here, let mama help you. No, she shoves them clean out of there. What is that they call it? A swim kit or drown? Teach somebody how to swim. They just throw you out of the river. God, you might die, but anyway, you better not. God will do the same thing. The absolute same thing. Now, if you get down there to where you're coming up for your last bit of air, He'll get you, put you back up there, leave you a little bit longer, then throw you right back out again. That was not in my message, y'all. It's not on none of these pages right here. How do I get hungry? Number one, I pray. Ask God. You know, what was it David said? Can't remember now. Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If I've let junk get in there between me and Him to where I'm not hungry, listen, if a glass is full of water, it's full. If I'm full of God, can't nothing else get in there. But if I'm full of other stuff, God can't get in there either. So there has to be an emptying out of myself and a filling up with God and the things of God. So if I want to be hungry, guess what? If you don't want to read the Bible, start reading the Bible and you'll get hungry to read the Bible. If you don't want to go to church, start going to church, and you'll start getting hungry to go to church more. Whatever you do, you begin to develop and acquire a desire for whatever it is that you do. Start laying out of church, I guarantee you, you won't want to go to the next service. Quit reading your Bible, I guarantee you, let a few days go by, you won't want to open it up again. That's just the way it is. And God is not the creator of all this stuff. I'm in charge of my life. God is here to help me. The Holy Ghost is my helper, but he's not my doer, right? And if you need help with that, prayer and fasting can help you with that. Now, that took 30 minutes. I want us to look at some things that goes along with this fill or full. I wrote this down. Being filled or being full has everything to do with the gifts of the Spirit. He told them here, I couldn't even bring a spiritual message to you guys because y'all fussing fighting all the time. Reckon what he could have brought to them had they been real spiritual, kept their mind stayed on the Lord, stayed out of strife and division. Well, he did later on, didn't he? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that is the gifts of the Spirit. But this is chapter 3 here. Let's look at Acts chapter 6. Now, we know what happened in Acts chapter 2, right? They all got filled with the Holy Ghost and started speaking in other tongues. But did you notice that? They didn't speak in other tongues till they got full. Or till they got filled. Right? You won't either. And the more you speak in tongues, the fuller you get. Everybody's full of something. Some of y'all laughing because y'all had a bad thought. Now y'all better cast it down. I'm sure y'all was thinking about Blondie, wasn't you? Y'all wasn't thinking about that stuff you got to have your boots on, was you? See, there what I'm talking about, just thoughts. But yeah, everybody's full of something. If you've been eating Blondie, guess what you're full of? Bologna. Right? If you've been eating potatoes, guess what you're full of? Potatoes, right? Whatever you eat, listen, and it parallels in the spirit, whatever you've been eating on, that's what you're full of. If you've been eating on strife and division, you're full of strife and division. If you've been eating on the Spirit of God and all, you're full of the Spirit of God. That's just the way this thing works. God has made it so simple, it don't take a rocket scientist. But we've had some well-paid help to help us get messed up. But here in Acts chapter 6, now we've looked at this before, but I want to point out something else. Because in my study of this, this is where I came across this, and it started sticking out to me like 3 services ago. It says, now this is the story about Stephen. Y'all know he was just a box toter, right? They told him, the men of the apostles told him, go, you know, so we don't have to stop preaching the word and carrying boxes to the widows or whatever, y'all go pick you out 7 men. What was the criteria for picking them out? Full of the Holy Ghost and faith. We don't have those qualifications here. Maybe we need to. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Do you hear that, Doris? Do you hear Ron Carpenter coming out? Oh. So Stephen, he got picked to be one of those that was taking boxes to the widow of food to the widows, and he stood up and he started preaching. Notice here, verse 8. It says, and Stephen, full of what? And what? Did what? And what? Among the people. It does not say, and Stephen, who was empty of God, had great faith and power. Notice that, though. Faith and power, great wonders and miracles happen. Why? Because he's full. Exactly what Smith Wigglesworth said. I just stay full of God all the time so he can use me in any gift at any time that he chooses. Why? Because he's the one that chooses the time. He's the one that chooses the gifts. But how many knows that if you're full of God, God is more out to pick you than he is somebody that's empty. A lot of times somebody else might have to go home and fast and pray for 3 days before they'll even have enough faith to be used of God. to obey God if it looks like in the natural they shouldn't do it. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? Yeah. But if I'm full of God and I'm full of faith, guess what? The Bible says God is walking to and fro the earth looking for somebody to show himself strong to. I want to be one, and it takes work. But God will help you. God will help me. I want to be one to where when God is looking, there is a beacon coming out of the top of my head going, me, God, me, God, me, God, me, God. You know how that beacon's going to be coming out? Because I'm full. If you're full, God can see it. If you're empty, he can see it. And the good thing about it is you can be a baby Christian and be full. Or you can be a baby Christian and you can just be all carnal, full of something else. But notice that there. It says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, look at chapter 7. Okay, this is Stephen still. We'll start in verse 54. When they heard these things, he's preaching now. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. If you want people you're around to be convicted, not condemned by what you say, or convicted by your lifestyle, that's what this means. Cut to the heart before. Well, sometimes we have a lot of talking with our lips trying to get our family members and stuff saved or our co-workers, but they don't feel much conviction out of our lives. I ain't saying nothing. It says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They bit him like a bunch of wild dogs or something. It says, but he, being what? Full of what? Full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. So we've done been over this one time about the gifts in operation here, the discerning of spirits. But notice what it said before it. See, you got to pay attention to what the Bible says, how it says it, and what it don't say. It's kind of like this. Somebody can tell me I need to do something, but if I don't already have something in here, you're spitting in the wind. Why? I'm not doing it. Why? Because I don't already have something in here about it. Now, if I got something in here about it and you don't know and you come up and you tell me, I'm like, oh, I hear you, God. I heard you already, but now I'm hearing you even more on the outside now. But it says here that he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now he's got discerning of spirits going on, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears up. In other words, plugged their ears up and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, they're full of something, too, and it ain't God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, this goes back to what I said earlier. If I want to carry a great anointing, if I want God to use me in the gifts of the Spirit, I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. And if I'm full of the Holy Ghost, people can be doing awful things to me. Do you know this is how Stephen said what he did? Father, forgive him. Just like Jesus did, didn't he? Wasn't Jesus full of the Holy Ghost, full of God? Well, they're stoning him. I mean, they got him up on the cross. And what does he say? Send me down here some angels and blast their tail. He could have. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, when I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I won't have near the problem of people getting on my nerves with their driving. I'm telling you, I'll be all by myself. And when I'm not full, and I ain't cussing, but I'm real close, and I'm about to show them a bird. Why? Because I'm not full. I'm full of something else. But when you're full of the Holy Ghost, it helps your thoughts stay right thinking. It helps the words coming out of your mouth to be the same kinds of words that Jesus himself would say. So they call Stephen here to say, Father, forgive them. Don't even charge this to them. Right? Now let's look at Acts 4. I think it's 4:8 of that. Everybody might not have their Bible with them. Now this here is the story of Peter and John. Well, I may have to read a little bit more than just verse 8. This is the story where the priest, they took Peter and John to the priest and all that. They got in trouble for the things they had been doing. I'm going to pick it up in verse 4. It says, howbeit, the disciples said it, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, talking about Peter and John, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Notice what they said. Then Peter, what? Filled with what? Now just take this to yourself. These people have the power to have you beat. They have the power to have you killed. They have the power to stone you, right? And they asking you a question, and you better not be smart about it, right? And what does he say? It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Why does the Bible keep saying this about these people? Exactly. He wants the emphasis on they're not doing this in their own self. They're not saying these things. They're not performing these works and these miracles all by themselves out of their own natural ability. This stuff is happening because they're full of me. Which is him, not me. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. Why did I read that? Because if you ain't full, you're more than likely be a coward. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, in the last chapter over there, the coward is put right in there with the sorcerers and all of that. But when you're full of God, you're not shy, you're not timid. The Bible says the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. But when you're not full, you're going to have a hard time being bold. Especially when you know you can be killed. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. And we'll see this again. Verse he'd been put in jail and he's out. And he's been ministering and everything again. Because I don't want to read this whole chapter. And I'll just pick it up here. Verse 29. Then Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than man. Because they keep getting in trouble for preaching in this name and doing these miracles. It says, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our forefathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his right hand to be prince and leader and savior and deliverer and preserver in order to grant repentance to Israel and to bestow forgiveness and release from sin. And we are witnesses of these things, and the Holy Spirit is also, whom God has bestowed on those who obey him. Now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and infuriated and wanted to kill the disciples. Oh, well, we'll just go to another one. There's plenty of them where they're full. Let's look at Acts 6. Oh, this was that one about Stephen, what they said to start with, which I quoted this to you, but we'll read it. Verse 3. It says, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. It wasn't faith, it was wisdom. whom we may appoint over this business. So they wanted box toters that was full of the Holy Ghost, right? Listen, if you're full of something, you better be full of the Holy Ghost when you're out here toting these boxes, I can tell you. Because if you're full of something else, somebody might get it. I mean, some of y'all hadn't seen some of the things we've seen around here. They've been down here at this corner, husband and a wife, they're having a knockdown drag out by it, and Richard's having to come and get Scotty. Look, go ahead, there's something down here about this. Well, how many knows if Scotty was full of the old man, it wouldn't have been good. Scotty goes down there and tells him, look, get back in that car. Don't be talking like that here. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever he says to him, gets them calmed down. They get their food and they get on out of here. Why? Everybody that comes to this giveaway ain't saved. They're not saved. They may say they saved when you invite them to church when they're here, whatever. But they're not. And some of them that are, they're carnal. And that's one reason why when we get here, whether we are the ones that are the box toters or the clothes workers down there or the leaders over those, we all need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Why? So we all get the same result. That if anything happens, God comes out. Why? Because the whole purpose of doing what we do here is to obey God and to be a blessing to people. And how many knows you ain't a blessing to people if you're cussing them out? I mean, I have this one lady. She don't come here no more. I don't think it's me. I think it's just that she can't get around good. She couldn't get around good when she come. But anyway, she went and told Scotty on me 2 or 3 times. And I just obeyed the rules. You know, but especially if I'm not full of the Holy Ghost, the words out of my mouth, they come out with a little bit of something else on them, I reckon. And it ain't salt. You know, salt's a good thing, the Bible says. You know, so I have to, maybe more than others, try to be more full so that my words, when they come out, I'm supposed to minister grace to the hearer, right? I've been ministering something else. And then that makes me feel bad, and then I get in trouble and all of that stuff. So it's better just to do it right the first time. Let's look at Acts 13. When I think about what it says, this is called the Acts of the Apostles. Now I'm not saying I'm better than God or nothing. I'm not saying that at all, because he named it what he wanted it, evidently. You know. But I might have would have chose something like the Acts of the Apostles on the Holy Ghost. You know, because what is that? In that movie, it was like Arnold Schwarzenegger on steroids or something, you know? Well, this would be like the Acts of the Apostles on the Holy Ghost. That's how they're doing all these miracles and different things that they're doing. But here in Acts chapter 13, now we've already looked at this. We looked at the gift of it. But here in, to set this up a little bit, now Paul, he's been doing some ministry and all that. He's going to minister to the big wigs and all that stuff. But there's a sorcerer here, so we're going to pick it up in verse 7. Which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Wanted to hear him preach or tell him the gospel. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with what? Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. But notice what it said. It keeps saying it for a reason. He's trying to draw attention to they're full of God. They're full of the Holy Ghost. There's no way the Apostle Paul, Christian, could just, because he's saved and because he's got faith, do what he just done. No way. No way that I could just speak without inspiration of God or a gift or something like that and being full of the Holy Ghost. There's no way I could tell somebody, you're going to be blind for a season, and bam, it just happened. And that's why he keeps telling us here, why he keeps pointing out, before they did what they did, he'd say, and full of the Holy Ghost, or full of the Holy Ghost and power, or full of the Holy Ghost and faith. How many knows if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be full of faith? Why? Because that is the Spirit of God. Right? And what is it that pleases God? Faith. The Bible says without faith, you can't please God in nothing you do. You cannot please him without it. But every one of these, he'll say, they're full of the Holy Ghost in power, full of the Holy Ghost in faith, full of the Holy Ghost in wisdom, right? Oh, my goodness, I'm done past time. I was fixing to do another one. But anyway, there's another one that you can look it up, or y'all can go read it or whatever. And it says, "In full, they was full of the Holy Ghost and joy." How many knows if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be full of peace, you're going to be full of joy, you're going to be full of long-suffering. Why? Because that is the Spirit of God. That's the fruit that is the proof that he's working within there, right? So if you ain't got joy this morning, you're not full of the right thing. If I don't have peace this morning, I'm full of the wrong thing. And I need to get rid of that and get full of the right thing, right? All right, does anybody have any questions or